Father, thank you that we can come together this morning. We call upon your Holy Spirit to guide us in the things we are going to share, to quicken our minds and our hearts to receive your word within us, and to, Lord, allow the word to empower and transform us. We know that, Lord, you are providing for everything we need for life and godliness. And as we come together today, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the things that you are doing in our lives. Just minister to us, enable us, Lord, to receive everything we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Realize that it's a time we are in, and on the 2016 is a new year. It's a year, I believe, that of change. There is lots of things going on in the spirit world that are affecting the physical world. Not all things are good, but there are some good things too. You know, it doesn't matter how the enemy tries to do things, we are more. Okay. I mean, we are more. That's the thing. So, more are the ones that are with us than the ones that are against us, if you remember. So, and this is still valid today. I mean, only one third defeated, you know, just got in the wrong direction, you know, so that we are two-thirds more powerful than the enemy. Now, we try to do big things and try to mess up things, but remember, and there are, you know, and people contribute to this. You see, we people are a part of what happened in the spirit world that affects the earth. People make the wrong choices here. They affect the way that the situation is in the world. And there are lots of things that are not going the right direction in the physical world, but we know that we had the victory anyway. Okay. So we have to understand that and realize that, you know, no matter what's going on, we are in the winning side. Okay. We are going to see things that are not really what we want. And this is when we have to take a position and stand on our values and our the truth that we know. You know, there are many values that were accepted and normal in at least the Western world. And they are being lost, apparently, by many people. But the fact that that's taking place doesn't mean that there is not actually a stronger position that some people are taking, some believers are taking. See, in the end time, there's going to be a clearer separation between the goats and the sheep. And because of that, you see, because they're all, you know, in the physical, often the goats are more than the sheep. It may appear that things don't go in the right direction, but really, there is understanding that is today about the word and the manifestation of the power of God that is today is greater than that's ever been before. See, the prophecies that were given before are an indication of really what's taking place. Now, that doesn't mean that because of the majority of the people in a certain area are not open to the truth. There are ruling spirits in areas. Okay, you read Daniels and other Daniels, other places, you know, it's so clearly that there are principalities and power controlling things. Some people are very sensitive to that. Like, you know, I know, for example, if I go to a certain city, I feel what is ruling there right away. And some things make me really feel uncomfortable. Even if I don't know about what's going on, I just feel it there. For example, if I go to places in Europe, you know, I just feel, Okay. And that's the truth. That, I mean, this is something that is there, that we become sensitized, you know, and our spirit has senses in that dimension to be able to feel what's happening. Okay. And one of the things that senses, especially when there is a change. Okay, it's like, you know, we are able to detect change better than what the situation is, because, you know, you get into a cold pool after a few minutes, you feel comfortable, not too cold anymore. But when you jump in, you go and you have to pull your breath. Well, the same happens spiritually. You know, when you move from one atmosphere to another, when it's a principality to another principality, you feel the difference if your spirit is developed that way. But the thing is, it doesn't matter what the ruling principalities are, you know, we are with the right side. Okay. We have greater power than the enemy. But the fact that this is the truth doesn't mean that we have to be passive in the situation. We cannot be passive. Because if we are passive, we are influenced. And we all are, to a certain degree, by the environment we are in. So first of all, we have to realize what's happening in the environment to take our position, to hold our position. Because otherwise we are going to be swept with the current, swept with everybody else, swept with the way the majority are. And we are not necessarily the majority. And we have to learn to stand our ground, to stand our position. We fight not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. We have to understand the level that we have to fight the battle. Our battles is not carnal, with carnal weapons, but with spiritual weapons that are mighty to take down the stronghold. And the first place that they have to take them out is within ourselves. We do not allow those things to take hold on us and to influence us. We should influence the environment we are in. And we have to learn to do that. It's not a natural thing necessarily. It requires that we receive strength from the Lord. Are in communion with Him. Because that is the source of our strength. That is the source of our understanding. This is the source of our victory, because He has won the victory already, and now the part that is left is for us to implement and to complete His work. Amen. See, that's what it's called. That's why He gave us the Great Commission. The Great Commission is just the completion of what He accomplished 2,000 years ago, which is to spread the good news and to minister life to the world. You know, the world is changing very rapidly. And is changing more rapidly than before. And for us, it's a question of resisting the current. And to actually move in with greater power. This is what the word says, that at the end, in the last days, is going to happen. Now, many Christians, many believers, even many believers don't understand that if you don't have clear objective, clear places where you want to go, clear goals, that if you don't know what you want, you are going to be drifting. Because there is no direction. You know, you need, I was going to say GPS. No, you need a compass to go to. It doesn't give you the exact direction, but it gives you what you are moving forward. See, some people don't understand how to establish their goals, how to establish their thing. And everybody tries to make goals at the beginning of the year. Generally, after 2 weeks, 50% of them have given up already. So what they waste their time for? See, the point is that there is no understanding, no basic motivation to actually do something. You had to know exactly where and what you want. And then adjust your actions and your decisions. You know, it's not just wishing and desiring things that is going to get you anywhere. It's by making decision and acting on the decision you make that you're going to get someplace. So goals are important. If you have no goals, that's where you're going to get. Nowhere. So you have to know exactly where you want to go. And at the same time, you have to have the persistence to keep them up. Now, the fact is, sometimes it's difficult to know everything what you want, but you have to have the general direction at least. If you try to make a complicated goal, you're wasting your time. Because in 2 weeks from now, probably you have more information or different things that you're going to have to change it. But when you have a general direction you want to move, then you know what your next step should be. And that's what you have to act on. And you have to keep focus on that. Most people live drifting through life. And because of that, they drift. They don't get anywhere. The people that accomplish something are the ones that are not drifting. Now, there are three types of lives, really. You know, the ones that are drifting, they get nowhere. And they go with the flow. But, you know, the flow one day goes in one direction, next day goes in the other direction. So, you know, you are going, in physics they call it Brownian motion. All direction, you get nowhere. It's like, you know, random. Today, you are feeling a good mood, you go do this. Tomorrow, you're in a bad mood, you get the opposite. And so you get nowhere. The other type of life is the people that are driven. They have an idea, they go after it. And they are so focused on the things they're trying to get that they mess up all the other parts of their life. And that's no good either. There is a component of trying to do something, but there is not the ability to perceive the whole picture. To have the life that God wants us to have is to have a life in which we are consciously making decisions. And we are not just focused on one area, but we are looking at the whole picture. You say, well, that's difficult. No, that's the only way to live. Otherwise, at the end of your life, you're going to have, say, what did I do and what did I accomplish? And it's no life worth living. This is why you have to establish what's important for you, what you want. What God wants for us is for us to live a life that we design ourselves, that we, according to the values that He gave us. So the first thing we have to do is to see what we want and to act or make a decision according to the things we believe. You know, there are some questions we have to ask ourselves that are going to make a difference. First of all, you know, just look at the long-term thing. There's a time when you are not going to be here anymore. And you have to give account for the time you spend down here, if you like it or not. What you want your life to have accomplished? What you want people to remember you for? And that's the first place. What is the influence or the impact that you want to have had on the world around you? See, because there comes a time when, you know, we are going to be old there, when we are going to look back and say, okay, that's it. And we have to say, you know, was I spending this 70, 80, 90, 100 years here for? And it's an important time. And it's not a negative time, because after is better, we know that. So we don't need to worry about that. But the point is, what we have accomplished is going to make all the difference, the way you're going to feel at that time. And it's more than just feeling, because it has an impact for later on too. So, the thing is to do is what's important for us. We have to establish priorities. You know, and really the priorities are pretty simple if you want to have a balanced life. You know, God come first, and then, you know, maybe yourself, and then, you know, your family, your life, and so on, your wife and your children, and finally work. And you have to establish the priority so that you see what's important and what's not important. Often we keep our priority messed up, and so our life gets messed up. The point is that we have to keep that in our mind every day, because otherwise we forget and we start living a life that is unconscious. You see, we go just by the pressure that we get today about doing something, and we forget about what's really important. We have to make the distinction what is urgent and what is important, and make decision for the important things, because they are more important than the urgent thing most of the time. And unless we consciously do that, it's not going to happen. Unless we consciously make those decisions, what we are going to choose is always what is urgent, because there is pressure on us to do it. She keeps you busy so that you get nowhere. Because that's what happens. And unfortunately, even Christians do that. Because they are afraid to make a decision on what's important and what's not important, and to stick with that, and to daily reaffirm that. You know, every day, you know, we pray, oh God, please do that or do the other things. And often, for me, it's a waste of time. I hardly ask God to do anything for me. But one thing. Tell me what I have to do next. Tell me what is important now. Tell me what you want me to do now. I pray that prayer each time I go to bed and I go to sleep. I say, Lord, talk to me. Each time I wake up in the morning, what today? I can spend hours in religious activity and get nowhere. Or 1 minute hearing from God and knowing what to do next. And it's better than minute to the hours. You know, we can get so religious that we think you have to go through all the ritual, like the Pharisees, when instead the only thing we had to do is to be connected with the Father. This is what God wants. More than all the other religious, whatever they are, I want to call them. He wants our relationship, our connection, so that we are in communion with Him and have the same spirit, the same desire, the same openness, the same goals. Because He wants to give us a good life. All good things come from Him. Hallelujah. So if we believe that, the only thing we have to do is, as we learn to be connected with Him, He's going to guide us for all the good things to come to us. And are the best. Not just spiritually, even physically. Because He loves us and He wants to bless us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. See, but if we had to believe that, most people think that God is going to take away all the fun from their life. And it's just completely the opposite. Because they don't know Him in a personal way. They don't know His heart and His spirit. And they don't have an idea that Jesus came to actually show that He's our Father. And He's the best Father that we can ever imagine to have. Because, as Jesus said, our Father are just messed up as we are, and they sometimes do good things or bad things, but He always does the good thing. And when we start realizing that and trusting in Him, then we start to be open to hear what He has to tell us. Otherwise, we cannot be open to hear anything. You see, the basic thing is to be able to hear. That means that our ears are not plugged, because He speaks all the time. And we have to learn to recognize He's speaking to us. God first. You know, I leave you a project to think about it. The idea that our priority should be, God should be the first priority. It's a sure thing, but what does it mean to you? Because, you know, what it means to you may be quite different from what it means to me. But you have to find out what it means to you. Because otherwise, how can you implement it? You cannot do something that you don't know you want to do. Or how to do it. So, that's a little project that I give to you for... Think about it, meditate on it, go to Him to help you to make that understanding. Because our understanding is everything that we says in Proverbs. I'm not reading from the scripture, but I'm quoting scripture, I'm just speaking as you hear me. There has to be that receiving from Him to know how to apply to your life so that you can make decisions. You make decisions every day. Don't make decisions by default. Make decisions by purpose. According to what you are called to do, what God wants you to do, according to the right priority, so that you can choose between one thing and another. Instead of letting the things push you around and influence you, you influence the world around you. That's what makes the difference. Jesus' life wasn't by chance. He had a purpose. He knew the goal that he had in his life, and everything that he did, always going according to what he was called to do. And was the best decision for that particular moment. You don't need to know what you need to do next year. You need to know what today is the best decision for you to do according to your priorities. And once you know that decision, take it and do it. Because if you don't do it, you are dreaming, and dreams don't get anywhere. Dreams and desires don't produce results. Actions do. And your actions have to be based on the right values, and the right values, you're going to get them in communion with God. When we act according to the values, the power that God makes available to us. You see, that's His grace, enables us to do things that otherwise we cannot do. You see, that's where the power of God comes into the picture. It's not just to give us goosebumps. Well, you may even get goosebumps, that's fine. I am not against that. But the point is, that's not the purpose. It's just that at that moment, you feel the anointing of God working through you and empowering you to do the things that you had to do. But you can get worked up just emotionally or physically in this crazy way, and you do crazy stuff, and you think God is moving. Hello. It's not an emotional thing, it's a spiritual thing. You are connected with God, you are going to have feelings too. Praise God. Because all the parts of your being are going to be affected. So just give some thought about what it means to you to put God first. Some people think that God put God first. Look back at history of religion in the whole world. The most crazy thing have been done in the name of God. The most atrocious thing, and they were thinking they were doing something for God. Well, forget it. They weren't. See, religion messes people up. It's the spiritual life that counts. Your spiritual life that you had to develop. And that is going to have an effect on your physical life. Because that becomes the center of your existence. We have been talking about appropriating the promises of God. That's a good place to start, because you know that you have to know what God wants, and to know what God wants, you have to know what He promised you. And to know how you're going to achieve and understand how to achieve God's promises is critical. That's why you should get the recording that I made last week, because that's what it's talking about. Actually, the process of achieving the promises of God, or of appropriating the promises of God for your life. It's all condensed there. Many people think, well, you know, I do this or that, and they take one scripture instead of taking the whole package of the scriptures to be able to apply it properly. Because lots of people believe in God's promises and they don't get them. And the reason because of that is because they don't understand the process they had to go through to actually obtain them, to actually receive them. Which is really doesn't reflect the idea of getting things from God. The word in Greek is lambano, which means take hold of with your hands. Grasp them. You see, we have a part to play in grasping God's promises. They're promised. They are there already. They are done. But we have to take them. It's like we have a bank account with $1 million and we go around miserable without being able to buy anything. Because we don't know how to go and cash the $1 million and use it. And I'm talking, you know, people that they should know better. Christians. They read the Bibles every day. But you know, if you read the Bible and you don't understand it, you don't apply, it's not going to work. There's lots of people say, well, God is going to provide. Hello. Are you listening? What he's telling you to do? If God said, you know, don't go there, it's raining, come this, the other direction, and you go there, don't expect him to stop the rain because, you know, you have to do something, you have to do what he tells you to do. It's a naive concept of spirituality, the thing that God is going to take care of everything. God is going to take care of the things, you know, to protect you and to take care of and to fulfill all the promises that are beyond your imagination that are in the Bible. But you have to follow His direction. You know, if you jump off a roof and say, God is going to take care of me, you're crazy. Well, that's what the devil said to Jesus, isn't it? He took him up in the pinnacle and said, throw yourself down and show that you are a son of God. Well, you see, he knew that that was a temptation. He wasn't fool around to say, well, God is going to take care of everything. Well, that's what lots of people go around saying. They're Christians. See, they lack the wisdom and the understanding of reading what the Word says. He has provided for us all things that we need for life and godliness. I like that scripture, you know, and it's true completely. But, and there is really not a bad, you know, it's the fact that we have to be doing what He tells us to do. Appropriating what He has given us. Know what He has given us. So the place we to start is to work on our spirit, on our understanding, on receiving the truth, because it has to do with us, our mind can grasp some of these things. It's not a logical thing. I mean, receiving a miracle, miracles are real. It's not a logic. You cannot do it with your logic. It has to happen through your spirit and then manifested in the physical. But, you know, any revelation that you get from the Holy Spirit is starting from your spirit, not through your mind. You can read the Bible and have a PhD in theology and get nothing from God. Why? Because it's a mind exercise. Paul said it very clearly. The spiritual things cannot be understood through the logical reasoning. They have to be spiritually discerned. That means your spirit has to receive from the Holy Spirit the understanding of the thing. So you can read the scripture 10,000 times, and the 10,001, finally the light goes on, and you understand it. And maybe just you understand a little part, because there is sometimes so much, but you know, you start to see what to do with that scripture in one particular area. And boy, you start getting results there. That's the way it works. Happens for understanding, happens for making decisions, happens for healing, happens for anything. You know, I have somebody that emailed me and said, please pray for me. You know, I want a job and I want to get married. And he did this prayer, you know, asked me that 6 months ago, and he asked me this morning or last night. Anyway, if he wants some change in his life, he has to change what he's doing. Right? I mean, don't tell me, there are jobs around, this person is educated. If he wants a change in his life, he has to change what he's doing. If he's doing the same thing that he did before, he's going to get the same results again. Now, you should ask for wisdom on how to go there. I could give him some advice, but probably doesn't understand it anyway. And I can say, Lord, open his eyes. And I can tell you, instead of focusing on the results, focus on what's going on inside you. And you're going to get results. This is why, you know, I believe that the topic we've been talking about, receiving the mind of Christ, or your identity in Christ, is so important. Because that opens up all a dimension in thinking that you didn't have before, or that maybe need to be developed more, so that you are in the communion with God at the level in which He expects you to be. And so how do you do that? Well, you know, we said it very clearly. You start appropriating the promises by thinking about them, looking at the promises. See, the promises are important. This is what set us free. God's promises is what set us free. It causes the precious promises in 1 Peter. Why? Because they make us receive everything that we need for life and godliness. You have a problem? That's the solution. There is some promise that is related to that, but sometimes there are promises that another promise that had to be achieved before. So start connecting with God. And this is where your identity in Christ is critical. You start thinking about it, start repeating them to them in different ways so that you start receiving and increasing the understanding of the meaning of each word in that sentence. Go into the dictionary, go and see whatever it is, so that you really understand what that word means. And you know, even then, it's going to be just limited. It's going to, there has to, one day the light is going to go on. You're going to see stuff there that you never saw before. Start agreeing with that. Start seeing, you know, one of the things I often say, you read the scripture, you know, I'm more than conquerors in Christ. Sounds great. How do you feel inside about being more than conqueror? That tells you where you are in that dimension. How much revelation, how much understanding you have in that. Because understanding is not just a question of understanding the word. It's really be able to see that as a reality in you. So do you feel comfortable with it? Or you feel, yes, but, you know, I didn't do this, and I can't do that, and I'm failure here, and I'm... You see, you need meditating on that scripture, evidently, if you have that struggle. Confessing it, applying it to yourself, start seeing and applying it to yourself. So, you know, let's take, for example, that's the time to start confessing and repeating and meditating on the words, on the scriptures. I suggest that to you as the best thing you can do. Take them, you know, all that series, we're going to have a lot of them dealing with your identity in Christ. Who God wants you to be. What God sees you like as a believer. And so, take for example Romans 10:10. That's a good place to start. Lots of people feel, you know, I'm bad, I'm a mess, I'm make mistakes all the time. There, you see, I did it again, and all that kind of stuff. That happens to everybody. I mean, that's what your enemy is going to tell you. This is the accuser of the brethren that is going to put you down on the spot and try to put the word of God down. But you read that and says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you start meditating on the scripture. I mean, you start seeing yourself. I mean, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself righteous? Or you see yourself as bit of a mess? I mean, righteous means that you have the right relationship with God. That you can go before God. God is your friend. He is not against you. He is the one that is for you, and He is the one that is going to help you, and you can go to Him anytime, anywhere, even when you blow it, because He is there to receive you and to help you. Because you are righteous. Because you are in good standing with Him. And the fact is, but you have to understand, I mean, you know, you have to have revelation about that to be able to say that I'm in good standing. You are in good standing because Jesus died for your sins so that you can go before Him, and He's not you that anymore, it's Jesus' righteousness that has passed on to you. So you have to have a few scriptures to back up, but you start quoting that scripture. And all the time that you feel not worthy to go before God, you quote the scripture to yourself, the same way as that's a temptation. Anything that comes contrary to the word of God is a temptation. Everything that is not of faith is sin. So, if you believe what God said, is faith. I mean, faith is not a big thing. Faith is believing what God said. Unbelief is believing something else. It's always believing. Doesn't matter what. Either you believe what God says, or you believe what you think, or you believe what your friend says, or you believe what the world says, or the newspaper says, or the news says, or God says. One voice against all the others. The one that counts. Or at the one that counts for you. So you start, say, I believe in my heart that I'm righteous. Can you say that? You believe with your heart. You just don't say it, agree it or something. You just believe it with your heart. This is the way you become righteous. Because if you believe with your heart, you're going to be affecting the way you think, the way you act, the way everything. And then, because you believe with your heart, you can go and confess it with your mouth. I am righteous. And you keep reminding yourself, even if you feel that you are not. You keep saying it to yourself and feel you are convinced. You see, Abraham had to fight against the fact that he couldn't have children for 40 years. And he even called himself Abraham because before his name wasn't Abraham. It was Abram. But Abraham means the father of many nations. And people saw the guy that was close to 80, 90, and, you know, and calling himself the father of many nations that didn't have any kids, and they said, this guy is nuts. Well, they had to say that you are nuts. If you want to get the results of Abraham, you have to do what Abraham did. That's why we are called the children of Abraham. We had to do what our father of faith did. And we had to take that position until we are fully persuaded the way he was fully persuaded. And the promise, and was counted for him for righteousness. She started with righteousness. I mean, it's easier to do it for righteousness than to get a son when you are old. Wouldn't you say? That's the way you have to start doing it. And so confess, and, you know, you start applying it. Start actually doing what the Word of God says. I mean, this is not big work. It's not a question of, you know, being religious. Say, well, you know, you're legalistic. You're being religious. No, I'm not religious. I'm taking the scriptures that I can count and I believe in, and I start applying it to myself. It works. It changes your life. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You see, your mouth, when you start speaking it out, when you start acting like it, then it's going to be manifested. Salvation is the deliverance that you get from the what you didn't have before that happens after. So you start confessing it. I mean, you start reading the scripture and you start, for example, meditating it and you start thinking about it and you start seeing the implication of it and you start reading it and giving emphasis or different words through it so that, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Or is it, with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. Hallelujah. And you start seeing them and giving importance to that part of the scripture. So you can take a scripture and read it 50 times if there are 50 words. And each time has a different feeling, a different content. So you see a different perspective. Are you getting it? And you go and you start doing it. You don't need to be there kneeling down and praying and do such a form. You can go and walk and take a walk on the street and you quote the scriptures. They should go, you see, this is giving God priority. He's there with you all the time. And so he's there ministering to you and you are open to him so that he can talk to you. You know, when I was working, many times, you know, God would speak to me just when I was walking back from the office to my house. I mean, I was tired. I just was fellowshipping with God. I had 10 minutes walked from the bus stop to my place. I got lots of revelation in that 10 minutes because I couldn't do anything. I was tired and I didn't feel, and I was just communing with God. He would show me stuff. That when my mind was busy and trying to figure out stuff, I couldn't. I'm just giving you an example, but that's not the only place. But I'm saying that was happening very often. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we covered the time. What we are going to do is actually take some of these scriptures and start meditating together. Like the one that we did now. And so that you keep working on them during the week. Start meditating, start thinking about them. With the heart, you are believe unto righteousness. So you start with the heart. Not with the heart. With the heart, I believe. I believe. And you put the emphasis on the belief. And then says, you know, the result is righteousness. I mean, you start feeling different. Praise the Lord. Amen. This year, if we do that consciously, it's going to be a year of change in your life. And you start doing it not just for 2 weeks, but you do it throughout the year. you start appropriating during the year the different things that God says you are. And they're going to be manifested in your life with all the implications. Sometimes I have a narrow-minded, it's like the guy that asked me, I want a job and I want to be, and want to marry. The thing is much more complicated. The issues are much deeper than the superficial thing there. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. I mean, there is some thinking that need to change there before the whole thing is going to work. Okay? It's a spiritual problem there, not a physical one. Now we have to deal with the cause, the source problem, not with the end results. Well, we close for today. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your word. And we ask you, Lord, that you help us to connect with you. Your word is everything that we need to make that connection. Your word reveals to us the truth that we have to appropriate, that we have to receive, that we have to understand. And we know, Lord, how to do that. It's just a question of do the work that is required to be exposed to your truth more than we are exposed to the other truth that is out there. We just thank you that you provided everything we need. And that, Lord, if we follow your direction, we will see results. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God bless you.